This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
About it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time, Michael. And this is our Monday morning, well, what is it? Monday afternoon buy or sell stock watch that we do on the program. And we're going to go through it. And we're going to talk about whose stock went up or down over the weekend. The Wyoming Cowboys, they beat Northern Iowa 31-7. Ran the ball, kind of ran all over the place, 189 yards. I don't remember what the spread was for this, but there was no spread when I made the pick, so I just picked the Cowboys to win, so I feel pretty good about that. Stock, I think, went up. You take care of a team that you're supposed to. They've had trouble with FCS teams in the past. They win 31-7 against an all right Northern Iowa team. I would say stock officially has gone up for the Wyoming Cowboys.
If they had struggled like they did last week, their stock would go down.
Yes, if it would have been. Now, it was 7-0 after the first, but it was 17-7 at halftime, and then they defensively shut them down in the second half of that game. So far, this defense has given up 7 points on the season.
If they had played really, really well last week, like really well, I think stock would go down or stay the same this week. But now you kind of feel a little optimistic about Wyoming.
And my guy, John Michael Gilmore, 5 catches, 65 yards, and a touchdown. So, yeah, stock's going up for the Wyoming Cowboys. Colorado Buffaloes, Mike. Now, the Buffs beat Delaware 31-7. The spread was like 23.5 or whatever when I got in, so I covered. I got that. I went 3-1 over the weekend, by the way. Broncos got me. Now, there's excitement about the quarterback, maybe, but he was the third-string guy. So, Mike, even though they beat Delaware 31-7, even though they covered the spread, I'm saying stock is down for the Colorado Buffaloes.
Stock's down, gone down quite significantly. Not only did you not look your best against Delaware, but you looked at your best with the wrong quarterback.
Right, right. So that's when you have three quarterbacks, if you have two quarterbacks, then you have none. What does that mean if you have three quarterbacks? Negative one?
You got a problem.
Yeah, you got a problem. That is as cool as it was for Staub. Like, that's cool, but he wasn't the guy. That's usually like, okay, well, the plan has failed. So Buff stock going down. CSU supposed to blow UNC out of the building over the weekend. They did not do that. We all know what happened. They narrowly escape. An overturned call that probably shouldn't have been overturned. I think stock would be plummeting if they had lost the game. But, Mike, I think we both agree. For Colorado State, Jay Norvell and company, stock is way down.
Stock, to me, stock has still plummeted.
Yeah, I think it's plummeted. Yeah, yeah,
I mean, no matter whether you know the controversial end to the game or you just went to ESPN and were, like, casually looking at scores, stock is down. This should not have happened.
No.
If you're CSU.
Mm-mm.
30, what, 4-point favorites?
Yeah.
That should not happen.
Pretty bad. Air Force did not play this weekend, so because of that, stock has stayed the same. They did nothing to, unless somebody got hurt in practice that we don't know about. But stock is staying the same. For the UNC Bears, I think you want to, it definitely has gone up. Buy.
Hope you bought stock last year because, boy, that made you a lot.
Yeah.
This team looks good, and I'm hoping it's not a fluke. I'm hoping it's not CSU is just bad. I'm hoping UNC is going to be a powerhouse
for years. I hope so. Does great for podcast numbers.
Selfishly.
Broncos. Be honest. Stock is up or down?
Which stock? Which part of the business?
You didn't ask any of those.
Offensively, the stock went down. Yeah. Defensively, the stock went up.
Stock went up. This is a good defense. It's a great defense. I mean, you didn't give up a touchdown to Tennessee. So that's huge. You held them 12. But Bo Nix? I mean, can you win games scoring 20 points?
He had a bad day and not a lot of runs.
No, he looked awful. 25 of 40, 176 yards. He had a touchdown. He had the nice TD to Cortland Sutton. Sutton looks good. So far, so good on my prediction that this is going to be a career year for Sutton. 6 catches for 61 yards and a touchdown. So pretty good for him. But Bo, 2 interceptions. It just looked bad, man.
Suddenly, it looks like only Corton Sutton's catching the ball.
No, you didn't say his name right, so you messed that one up.
I said suddenly, like suddenly.
Yeah, but then you said Sutton. So
suddenly.
Yeah, okay.
Cortland Sutton.
Okay.
Pun.
Defensively, they did look great. Man, Hufanga. Talanoa Hufanga looked really good, Mike. 10 tackles for him. He forced a fumble. I thought, Nick Benito got a sack. Justin Sternad got a sack. Jonah
Nick Benito
Ellis
had
got
a couple
a sack.
Of pressures in the backfield. I bet he signed that contract and he immediately said,
"Oh, dude,
good job."
He is not like he's not one of those guys that signed a contract and then went down suddenly. That first play of the game, like he was just coming off that edge, stopping the run. It wasn't just the sack for him, but it was what he was doing. Tackles for loss, he had 2 of those. 3 quarterback hits for Nick Benito. Yeah, you're getting what you paid for right there, my friends. Well, actually, you're probably getting a steal because that guy's going to go and continue to do stuff like that. But 5 sacks for the Broncos defense overall.
And there were a number of penalties on Tennessee, and some of those penalties were holding on Benito. He was so good, they had to hold him.
Yeah, Benito was great.
He's a stud.
Zach Allen got a sack. Jaquan McMillan got a sack. Jonathan Cooper got a sack. This was a great performance. My bad, dude. 6 sacks for this team was the leader in sacks last year, Mike. And they're looking like they're poised to do the same thing again.
Now the question is, did they play a bad offense or did they play a decent offense? I like your quarterback, by the way.
Cam Ward I like his demeanor. I like who he is. I thought he made some pretty good throws. Now, keep in mind that final possession for them, a lot of drops, Mike. A lot of drops.
Throughout the game, too.
Yeah. You give him some weapons this offseason. If they are bad again, then watch out for Cam Ward. I do think that's going to work out pretty good. He could be one of the guys we're talking about here 4 or 5 years as one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
But, yeah, he scares me.
Yeah,
he really does.
He does. Bo Nix, on the other hand, I mean, Mike, watching Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen last night, I get it, defenses were not really there last night, but he's way behind those guys. He is way behind. Sean Payton's saying stuff like, hey, he's going to be, in a couple years, he's going to be a top 4 or 5 quarterback in the NFL.
Not according to that game.
That was bad. Underthrows. I mean, he was animated. He was yelling at his guys for not being in the right spot. And then it's interesting because during the game, you're seeing so many commercials. Bo Nix on those commercials. So please let this work out. We got our franchise quarterback right now.
Yes.
I'm not there at all. Like, not even a percentage of my brain is there. but that was concerning. It looked a lot like he did in the preseason. And that kind of followed up. So the touchdown pass was nice to Courtland Sutton. The run game is, now they ran for 151 yards, Mike.
On two carries.
Yeah.
Two carries, I mean, made that
yes.
look good.
R.J. Harvey had the 50-yarder. J.K. Dobbins had a 20-yarder. So of their 151 yards, there's 70 right there with those two big runs. And again, you can't take that away. It's part of it. But this team just doesn't run with a flow or a rhythm. And I know it's, I don't know. Help me explain that better. Because I'm watching Baltimore and Buffalo, and it just seems like they're running downhill. Their calls, the play actions, the read options, they all kind of work so well together. When I watch Denver run it, Mike, I almost feel like they're just running to run it, just to say we did it. Check it off the box. I mean, R.J. Harvey had six carries in this game. J.K. Dobbins had 16 carries. I just don't know if that's the recipe there. Now, I do think they got to run the ball, but there's got to be a little bit of a rhythm and a momentum when you're doing so, because it's not setting Bo Nix up for much. He threw the ball 40 times, Mike, in a defensive battle. And then what was with it? Would it have been a 53-yard field goal to go up by, you know, what were they up? Eight? It was an 8-point game to get it to an 11-point game and put it out of reach officially. I mean, you either kick the field goal or you kind of pooch punt that bad boy. But instead, the Broncos decide to air it out. And he had Sutton open, but he went to the, you know, across the middle, the right side of the field, I guess. And
yeah, he had a little pressure on him and didn't see Sutton. Yeah, I knew immediately as I saw Coach go, "Hey, Vance Joseph, over here. I'm going to talk to you about something." I knew, oh, the Broncos are going for it. He's telling his defensive coordinator, "Hey, we're going for it. Make sure you get your guys ready."
Yeah, and they kind of weren't, because Tennessee had two or three wide open looks that would have kept the drives going and at least maybe made this interesting. But I missed my – I picked the Broncos in the picks. Picture on Friday, everybody knows that, to cover 8.5. And they won by 8. So we lost. We went 3-1 this weekend.
And we all did that on Wine at 9. We picked the Broncos to cover, and they did not cover.
Now they got an Indianapolis Colts team who just put the absolute hurt on the Miami Dolphins.
I'm thinking the Miami Dolphins are not very good.
I'm thinking so, too. That fun experience with Mike. What is it? What is his name? Daniel? What is the Dolphins head coach's name, Michael? I'm blanking out on it. That's how quickly we are forgetting.
Mike McDaniel?
Yes, Mike McDaniel. Why was I saying
Daniel? I'm the one that remembered the name.
Yeah, you did. Good job for you, Mike. Good job, buddy.
I get it every now and then.
That might be the end of this interesting ride for Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins. But going back to the Broncos, that's scary for one game. To see Bo just certainly a step back from where we left off at the end of last season. Now, he wasn't good against the Bills, but that's the Bills. Sean Payton, I did not think, coached a very good football game, Michael. You know, again, defensively, they're right where we expect them to be. They allowed 12 points, even against the maybe the worst team in the NFL. We'll see how bad Tennessee is. Miami might take that. But to only give up 12 points when you're turning the ball over left and right in this game, how many turnovers did they have? Bo was responsible for three of them because he had the fumble, right? He had the fumble and he had the two interceptions. And then Marvin Mims fumbled it. So for a defense to be, you know, constantly kind of be put in a bad spot, they showed out. I saw some good things from Jahdae Barron, too. Like, this is a team defensively that if you can score 24 points, you're going to win a lot of games. Scoring 20, that's not going to put the crackers in my stomach, Carl, if you do that again. Well, maybe even the Colts are going to be a team to to watch out for. But when you start going up against these tougher teams, when you go to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers, when you host a Cincinnati team, they didn't get their studs going, but I mean, they've got enough of a history there that's like, okay, one weird game to start. The Eagles will be tough. I mean, it's not going to get any easier, Mike. You know, already you look at, heck, you look at the Steelers-Jets game. I think the Steelers are going to be fine. Aaron Rodgers looked really freaking good. He had four touchdowns against his old team. He really wanted that game against the Jets. But Justin Fields, 16 of 22, 218 yards, a touchdown, no picks, had a rating of 119, also ran for about 50 yards. That team's on your schedule. That's the London game, right? Is they take on the Jets in London? Yeah, nothing about this suddenly looks easy. I mean, I've got the Broncos at 11 wins. Defensively, they're an 11-win team, maybe a undefeated team. But offensively, they're like a 5-6-win team. So we'll have to see something change next week against the Colts. I'm looking at that game, Mike. Do we even have? I'm going to see what the opening line is on that. Broncos -2.5 on the road against Indy. Are we shocked a little bit by that, that the Broncos are 2.5-point favorites after Indianapolis won 33-8 over the Miami Dolphins, who had Zach Wilson throw a few passes in that game, too, because Tua was awful?
I'm thinking that odds makers don't take Miami seriously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do we take Daniel Jones seriously with the Colts yet? He was throwing it. I mean, 272 yards for him. No picks. That was big.
And yeah, but you're talking about a guy who came from the Giants. The Giants are a more messed up organization in my mind than the Indianapolis Colts. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah. We'll see, man. But that wasn't a great start for the Broncos. But they got the win. They did get the win. And that's sometimes in the NFL, it's easier to say they got the win than it is in college. Because college is all about style points. In the NFL, even the bad teams are still somebody got to watch out for. That's why you don't see crazy spreads in the league. Eastside Chris, why does Sean use so many line and player changes? I think I heard Mark Sanchez mention that. Well, I don't know why, you know, you're getting, even on the rushing attempts, too. Like, I want to see a guy, you know, J.K. Dobbins with 16 carries, but I want to see a rookie running back get a lot more carries. Give him an opportunity. But they were throwing, I mean, and then Evan Ingram, have we heard about him? Is everything okay there? Because to start the game, Bo's finding Lucas Kroll and Adam Troutman. I mean, it was not one of those, like, okay, well, here's Evan Ingram. Now, Ingram ended with 3 receptions for 21 yards, but now he's listed as questionable. I don't know. Sean Payton, I thought, called a clunky game yesterday. And we'll see if they can learn from that. They won. You'd much rather learn from a win against a team you're supposed to be rather than us talking about, oh, boy, they lose to Tennessee. It's going to be a long year. But you got it done. You won by 8.
I'm guessing Tennessee's defense is better than we expected. Bo Nix had a bad game, and he's going to need to get over that. He's going to stop the nonsense. Stop trying to make a huge play when there's no play. Don't throw up that 50-50 ball, which is more like a 60-40 ball.
Yeah, he even admitted, he's like, there's both those. I thought I saw something a little bit there that wasn't there, shouldn't have thrown either one of those. Yeah, he looked off, and we'll see if they can regroup. 24 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. More on Broncos, Titans, where does Denver go from here? Some other standouts on the defensive side. We'll get to that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar, like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door, whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KSKA.
On the Rocks Liquor, they got your fall stuff. They got your pumpkin-flavored style ale, Oktoberfest. It's there because we're now into that time of our lives. It's the best stretch of the year. My favorite quarter is quarter four, and I know we're not in that, but I always kind of just consider September a part of that. And On the Rocks Liquor is ready to go. Get your holiday spirits, Halloween, whatever that might be. Cooler weather means different, taste change and all that. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. I think we all were ready for some On the Rocks Liquor beverages after the weekend that was. I mean, man, Bears lose, but felt like a win. Rams win, felt like a loss. Buffs win, felt like weird. Broncos win, felt like a loss. Not really. No, I don't think so. NFL's different. It's
different. Felt weird.
Yeah, felt kind of strange. Big Hubs wanted to know. No, we didn't go that route this year. Is there no more Rams show with a player? We're going to reboot that coming up in basketball season, I believe. But we just got a couple of guys lined up, and just there's a lot of different things to go through now, variables. Not that we got turned down or anything. It's just we just didn't get to it this year. But we'll be sure to catch up with some, I'm sure, some Rams players throughout the course of the year. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. But speaking of player interviews, you're not going to want to miss this one. We'll have Carver Cheeks on the show tomorrow. What do you think he's going to say? He's going to tell us. How was that a taunting call? Did you see it? Did you see that they called the taunting thing on him? Did you
see
that?
It was so dumb.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
In my opinion, three bad calls in the same area of the field. You have what I believe was a pass interference.
I thought it was pass interference, too. Was that would have been LaRondre Joe, I think, who was on the coverage.
Yeah,
it looked like he grabbed his shoulder and pulled it back. And if it screws your ability to try to catch the ball and that moves your arm, then that should be interference.
Yeah, and to be fair, I would have done the same thing, so I don't blame the guy.
Right, yeah.
The other one,
college especially, you just go after him.
Well, you just mentioned that taunting, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, like, stupid.
I don't like taunting penalties anyway, unless you're like standing over the guy and pointing
at him.
They
got to be egregious, man, for me to think that you should call a taunting penalty on anybody.
And then, of course, that I thought it was a catch. And if they had called it incomplete, still think it was a catch, but it would have been tough
they
to overturn.
They wouldn't have overturned it. Yeah, I don't think so. I think either way you call it, that's one of those plays that either way you call it, when you go back to review it, it's not going to be enough, not conclusive enough. You can't overturn that. So that was just...
That was just messed
that
up.
That has the state of Colorado talking. Like, how about that for Ed Lamb and his UNC Bears? You have the state of Colorado. Mark Johnson gets on. Mark Johnson, the voice of Coach Prime's Buffaloes, stops the interview as I ask him about a quarterback controversy in Boulder. And that's a big thing. No, that's a big topic. But instead, he stops and says, I want to talk about that UNC-CSU finish. Mark is speaking for a lot of people on that. It's not just Bears fans. It's not just Rams fans talking about this. This had the entire state watching closely how this game unfolded. And I think a lot of people gained a lot of respect for Ed Lamb, his coaching staff, and especially those players that went out there and showed up against a team that thought they would probably just sleepwalk through that thing, and they played like they were sleepwalking. That's a concern, that they weren't ready for this game. That's a big concern. That's a coaching concern.
And now UNC has to prove, was it CSU or was it UNC?
Right.
Or was it both? And I think this week, maybe not just this week, but the next couple weeks, you really have to prove who you are. Are you the team that almost probably should have beat CSU, or are you a team that just happened to be there when CSU played terribly?
Yeah, I mean, five but six turnovers, because the turnover on downs, it's called a turnover. I don't know why we're saying five. That's a turnover. Yeah, that is... For CSU to have that many turnovers, maybe it was, as Jay Norvell said, it was like that was a case of everything that could go wrong did. And that was the case for CSU. That was the worst game I've seen from Colorado State, I believe. Maybe, I mean, they've been blown out before, but that was certainly up there as far as the worst performances I've seen.
But they've been blown out by teams who are supposed to blow them out.
Yeah, and that's why you don't look at that and say, okay, blowouts that are supposed to happen, that you're not gonna rip them to shreds for that. I mean, you kind of do, but games like this, and you want to be careful because you're not trying to disrespect UNC either. But the fact is, this is a team that won one game last year. Now, I thought in the beginning of the season, the Bears were competitive in a lot of those games, and as the quarterback evolving door kept going, it was kind of the end. But I think that was a better team than a one-win team last year. I mean, they had Abilene Christian beat, and they hit a 50-plus yard field goal to win that game in Greeley. That sucked.
You have to be completely out of your mind to think that it was just just CSU playing sloppy.
No,
I mean, UNC played,
dude, the
very well.
The lack of resources that UNC has compared to CSU, they had no being. Let's just be call it what it is. The Bears should have no business in being in a game with CSU, based on the facilities, based on NIL, based on all that stuff that they don't have. They had no business, and that's not a knock on those players. I mean that truly. But the fact that they did belong just skyrockets my opinion of this Northern Colorado approach.
The facility difference, the resource difference between UNC and CSU is vastly bigger than it is between Alabama and CSU.
100%.
And UNC doing this is such a credit to them.
This is an interesting one. Big Hub says, if CSU would have won, if they would have beat Washington, then lost to UNC, how would we feel? Better?
I think CSU fans would be very confused. I think Washington fans would be very confused, and I think UNC fans would still feel good about that first win.
Yeah.
But like this just puts a bad taste in your mouth if you are a UNC fan, and if you're a Washington fan, you're questioning your play in your very first week.
Mm-hmm.
Because you thought CSU was better than they were, and they've played 2 weeks, three and a half games of lackluster football. Their first half was really, really well. Even first half and half of the third quarter, they played really well.
Yeah, yeah, they were right there in that one. So I don't know what to make of it. You know, part of me wonders if they beat Washington, if they give Jay Norvell an extension right there. But then after this, part of me wondered, if they lose to UNC, do they fire him right there? That's how in between Jay Norvell is right now. Like, every win and loss is going to have the pendulum swinging back and forth.
To me, it has to be a landslide of losses before you do something about it. If he starts winning a bunch of games, sure. But I think the only way you change positions at coach as if there are no more wins this season. If they lose the next six games, then you got to start thinking about the Rams' future.
Yeah. Go Pokes. That Broncos win is the only 10 I see. That's your fault, Mike. That's your fault. That's what you've breathed into this show, and the Hooligans are starting to follow you. That's unfortunate, and that's sad, to be honest.
I have improved the brains of the Hooligans. We need this.
Texter says, could you say if the play calling was better, CSU should have beat Washington? Yeah, why is Dupree not getting more than four carries in the second half?
I don't blame it solely on the play calling, but I think better play calling would have made a better game.
That game was more like the Dupree thing bothered me, and then the fake field goal that wasn't a fake field goal bothered me.
Oh, that would have bothered me the most if I was a fan.
Yeah.
I had my head scratching. What's going on here? Why there? Why now? Don't you have a really good kicker?
Yeah.
Put points on the board. You're taking points away.
Yeah. I don't know, Mike. It's a weird situation. Let's see. I got this text. Where is it? Just out of curiosity, not that it means anything, but would UNC have gotten additional dollars if they won? No. But they did get money for this game, right? Do we know how much?
I don't.
The Weld County Swami. Oh, I can't. To Micah. Everyone in this room. Oh, it's the Billy Madison. Everyone in this room is now dumber for have listened to that.
You quoted an Adam Sandler movie. Not one of his dramas, which I love his dramas, but one of his comedies.
It's a great comedy.
Yeah, it's a really, really stupid movie that makes
it's
you dumber.
Stupid,
so,
but it's
like,
great.
Weld County Swami.
That movie is fantastic.
You just dropped your.
What's dumb about that level movie? About Billy Madison?
It's a really dumb movie.
A mid 20s something, screws around all the time, and his dad's a hotel tycoon, and his dad says, if you go back to school and you can pass, I'll give you the hotel company. That's a brilliant idea. Just genius.
It's really a dumb Adam Sandler movie. His movies tend to be dumb. I love his dramas. I think he's a really good dramatic actor.
But Billy Madison was smart, and there was a lot of drama in that.
Yeah, of course. The penguin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the
love interest.
Most dramatic.
There was a love
scene.
Interest in that movie with the penguin and Chris Farley.
Yeah. I'm not bad mouthing his comedies too much.
The writing
they are
was amazing.
Stupid, but there's a place in this world for stupid comedies, and I love Airplane as much as the next parody fan, so I like stupid comedies as well. I just think he's a better dramatic actor than he is comedic actor.
All right, 41 after the hour, Mike. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Hulse Show. I don't even know how to respond to that. Lemons Heating and Cooling. The temperatures are changing, and maybe you're not there at that point of thinking about, your heater just yet. But, sometimes, something like after last year, you know you were having issues, and then you just forget about it because you go through the summer, and you're worried about your AC unit. Talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling about that heater situation if you had some concerns. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com, or you can call them 970-567-0798. I'm in Fort Collins. I was in Timnath, very close, and they came out, took care of me, both. I mean, I had AC issues and I had heater issues last year. And Lemons Heating and Cooling, that was the first phone call I made, so appreciate them. 970-567-0798. One more note on this CSU thing. If that would have been against any other team, maybe, and BFN, that touchdown he had, that would be a huge talking point, Mike. But because that game went the way it did against the opponent that it was, it's kind of like, oh, great, he took off and ran. It's almost like he doesn't get credit. Unfortunately for him, I think he's... Yeah, he's had certainly some interesting things he's said over the years, but I've talked to him a few times. I think he's a good dude. So, I'm rooting for him. But I just remember he got the start. He took over during that Washington State game because it was at that point we were doing the Clay Millen show, you remember? And Clay got benched in that game and then never saw the light of day with CSU. And then that was BFN. I just wonder now if, they got a bye this week. I don't think talking to Justin Michael earlier, I don't think there's any reason to believe that BFN's fully going to get benched. I don't see it, but stranger things have happened. I know this was the most negative, I think, Jay Norvell has been in talking and assessing BFN the quarterback that he's gone to bat for, and he went out on record talking about $600,000 in K-State and all that stuff. Wild time, man. 48 minutes after the hour. Texter says, I cannot wait for this week's episode of Football 52. Coach will be in the podcast studio Wednesday, bright and early. I'm looking forward to it. I'm curious how he approaches this thing. 48 after the hour, Mike. What did we learn? It's coming up next. We'll be right back.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn today, Mike? We learned that there are such thing as moral victories. I think the Bears certainly got a moral victory there. I don't think Ed's going to agree to that, Mike. We learned that the Broncos' defense is as good as advertised, but sophomore slump, at least through one game, certainly appears to be affecting Bo Nix. They got the Colts coming up. We'll turn the page tomorrow. Start preparing for the Indianapolis Colts. Quarterback controversy in Boulder? Interesting story there. And that usually doesn't mean great things ahead for that specific team. But, they're at Houston this weekend. Could be a weird season for the Colorado Buffaloes, Michael.
You know, I learned that most of Colorado agrees with me on the end of the UNC CSU game.
Oh, I do think it was a catch. There's not enough there for me to say it wasn't a catch.
I think even most Rams fans probably agree, even though they don't want to admit it.
On Saturday, it sure seemed like most of them did. All right, that's going to do it for us. We're back at it on Tuesday. Carver Cheeks, who had that catch, will be on the show tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.